Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Let's turn to the hurling. We have, what, 6 o'clock on Saturday, Kilkenny against Waterford, to be followed on Sunday at 4 by Galway against Limerick, fresh on the heels of another fairly entertaining quarter-final weekend. To discuss, Tommy Welch is with us and Jamesy O'Connor as well. Gents, you're very welcome. Tommy, remind me, which game were you at for us?
I'll be at the one Sunday, Galway and Limerick.
Okay, very good. So feed up at home Saturday evening for Kilkenny Waterford, that's the plan.
Yeah, and a few bottles and a chicken burger maybe.
And a few screams at the television every couple of minutes. Let's start with that one then. I mean, I was just having to check. It's hard to get a steer. Sometimes the bookies give you a feel for to what extent a team are favourites or not. They have Kilkenny kind of 2-point favourites, which is obviously nothing in hurling.
Yeah, and, you know, I suppose Kilkenny being the provincial champions will probably go into it, you know, as you just said, slightly favourites. But even in most people's minds, because they've been there and done that so many times, you'd imagine Kilkenny will be favourites going into that game. It won't really affect them, I think, because they have been used to that favourites tag and they have won so many times in the past. So it's least likely to affect you when you're going into a game like that. Mm. Going back through the years, I think they've played each other 14 times in Championship, Joe. Kilkenny have won 10, Waterford have won 2 and 2 draws. But if you look at it, the last 3 times they played, I suppose, All-Ireland semi-finals, once up in Croke Park, that was a draw match. Then a replay blow on Turles, Kilkenny got out of that by the skin of their teeth. And then Waterford actually won the last one only 2 or 3 years ago. So it has been tight between the two teams. I think, you know, it's the year to be aware of the underdog. Like you look at the football, Cavan winning the Ulster, Tipperary winning the football, even in the hurling itself, you know, Clare beating Wexford. You know, most people would have had Wexford down to win that game. Kilkenny even beating Galway in the Leinster final. Waterford themselves beating Cork in the Munster semi-final. Like, it is the year for the underdog. It has happened so many times. It's just a quick format. You can get into your groove really quick, and then you have the whole tension and worry regards if you lose your route. So you can't play, you know, with free abandonment. There is that pressure in every game. So listen, I think it's a great chance for Waterford. Hopefully not, but it is a great chance for Waterford this weekend to upset the odds.
The neutral can forget, actually, because we're just so used to the provincial structure that we're talking about neighbouring counties here. They share a border. So there's a degree of rivalry locally anyway, whatever, about what we've seen, you know, on our television screens down the years.
Yeah, and like say up here in North Kilkenny, it's all Tipperary. So when you hear about the fierce rivalry and the fierce, you know, between Kilkenny and Tipperary, it's North Kilkenny and over the likes of Gortnahue and Turles and Ballingarry and all these places. But for the South Kilkenny people, you're talking about the Shefflins, the Ballyhales, the Mullinavats, Glenmore, anywhere Tulliher Rossberg and Big Walter Welch's club, it's all Waterford for them. Like you go into, say, Sleeve Rue, you go into Ferrybank. Like we had a few years ago, there was a big fight. Was Waterford going to take Ferrybank on us? We wouldn't let them take them. So, you know, you have all that rivalry going up. And when you're coming out of Waterford over the bridge, Joe and Jamesy, you're coming into Kilkenny, but there's a big kind of a rock up, say it's behind the train station, but there's a war kind of going down there. Not so much maybe lately, but definitely when, say, during the late 2000s, say, maybe 8, 9, 10, around that era, there was people putting up Kilkenny or up to Daisha, and it was changing every week. So that's the rivalry that's going on, and sure, it's brilliant. Where would we be without it?
So come here, I'm not too familiar with this Ferrybank business. Ferrybank, I'm just looking here on Wikipedia as you speak. Much of it says here is under the political jurisdiction of Waterford City and County Council. However, there is part of it that extends into Kilkenny. So is this as to what championship they play in?
Yeah, no, it's. I'm not going to start a new war now. It went on a few years ago. It's over and done with now, but...
I'm sorry, who won, Waterford or Kilkenny?
Well, see, what happens is, you know, a lot of it is in Kilkenny, but there'll be a lot of Waterford people living in it. You know, it's right It's right over, say, by the train station, right over the bridge, right over the river.
Right.
It's up around that area. Now, listen, I don't know exactly who lives where, but I know they've great rivalry down there. There's a school down there in Furrybank where there'll be a lot of Kilkenny people who would go to school there, a good few Kilkenny teachers in there. And it's a very healthy rivalry, but, yeah.
But what's rivalry, all the same. What you're saying to me is Waterford are wrong about that and Kilkenny are right. Is that what I'm to take? Is that the headline I'm going with?
What do you think, Jamesy?
It's a bit like the Limerick lads trying to take Partey off us, Joe, you know?
Right, okay. Sure, look, Andy Moran's playing for Ballyhedrin and Mayo. These quirks are all over the place. So, Jamesy, Kilkenny Waterford, in broad terms, we'll get into some specifics. How are you seeing this game?
Yeah, again, like Waterford really impressed me at the weekend, Joe. You know, I was they did their warm up down the corner that I happened to be down with the touchscreen with Sky. And you know, you just got a sense of real energy down there. They were very together. They're in unbelievable shape physically. You know, they all know the game plan. Even the guys that come off the bench, you know, are all fitting in pretty seamlessly. And they have to be in a very good place because, like, Limerick still seems to be the form line. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of bar I think we're judging everybody else off. And, like, obviously, Waterford have come as close as anybody. I mean, they were level with Limerick heading into that last quarter. And even the very end, you know, they had one or two kind of little half goal chances. So that form, I think, stood up at the weekend. And I mean, they hit 327. Mm. You know, and like we saw Desi Hutchinson finally with pace on the pitch and fast ball coming in, you know, what he could do. I thought Jimmy Barron was excellent. You know, and they have to be feeling good about themselves, Joe. Now, listen, obviously, you know, there is the question that this is going to be a third game, obviously, in you know, consecutive weekends. And you know, as you know, you go 3, 4, 5 points behind, that then suddenly starts to kind of creep into your mind. So I think it's very, very important that they start well and that they're in the game and possibly ahead. But like the longer the game goes on and the longer they're there, I don't think there's any team fitter than them in the championship.
Right.
And as I said, like they have good players and I think they're in a good place. Now Shane Fives is a loss, and obviously there's a concern maybe at some of the goal chances that they coughed up against Clare and. You know, that's probably going to be exercising, you know, the Waterford management's team meetings, I suppose, this week because, you know, do they sit tight to work as a sweeper? Can you afford not to? Shane Fyles probably won't be back. You know, they lost him in the Limerick match. But certainly, you know, whatever happens at the weekend, this has been a real year of progress and consolidation. And as I said, they look very, very together as a group. And I don't think there'll be that much in there at the weekend.
Yeah. Manchester United fans, Bruno Fernandes has just scored a really good goal, edge of the area, roof of the net, 7 minutes gone. So 1-0 up against Istanbul at Old Trafford. We're talking here with Tommy Welch and Jamesy O'Connor. As for Kilkenny, Tommy, few decisions for Brian Cody to make, not least with his starting 15. For instance, does Richie Hogan have 70 minutes in him at this stage, or do we know?
I believe so. I believe he always has 70 minutes in him, Richie Hogan. Like going back to the club campaign, he was outstanding for Dane's fourth. And what happened was in the latter stages, he got injured. And if it was the old system, they would have chanced him. I'd imagine Dane's fourth would have chanced him. I think it could have been possibly a hamstring injury, but they would have chanced him. And if it worked out, it did. And if it didn't, listen, there was no real loser at the end of it because there was no championship to take place after. But this year they had the inter-county scene in mind as well. So they played a relegation semi-final and a relegation final with no Richie Hogan. You know, he came on for the last 5 minutes, I'd say, in the relegation final. But so it's not that he can't last the 70 minutes. It's just if he gets injured or not, you know. But Richie Hogan, like for me, I'd start my best players all day long. And the question, I suppose, that will be going through the Kilkenny management's heads this week is, like, say, Waterford, their subs came on the last, they scored 5 points from play. You go back to Limerick when they won the All-Ireland, their subs were brilliant coming on. You go back to Galway when they won the All-Ireland, subs brilliant coming on. It's all about the panel. Tipperary, the same last year. So, are you know, I think Jim Gavin started with Dublin and the footballers. Like, you're not just a sub coming on anymore, are you? Are you a finisher? Mm. So I think that's the question. Does he want Richie Hogan coming on with maybe 25 minutes, 30 minutes to go to give? He can't give the crowd an injection anymore, but he can definitely give the team, you know, that little bit of a lift. There might be 2 or 3 pints in it.
Yeah.
But no, I'd start my best players, Joe, and Richie Hogan, to me, I would definitely be starting. I mean, he's still outstanding. Like, forget about his age. He's brilliant. Mm. And he looks fit. He looks fast. And he proved that the last day.
Okay. And what are the other issues Brian Cody's looking at, do you think, with his starting 15?
Yeah, and sure, Paddy Deegan then as well. So Paddy missed the last day. He's been just, you know, he's your new leader as such for the last couple of years. He wins all the runs. He wins all the tackling. He's your top man in training. Kind of remind me a lot of Jackie Tyrrell, you know, leads by example the whole way. The kind of panel look up to this guy, even though he's a young guy, they do look up to him. Because Paddy Deegan, like, if you run, we'll say 100 metres in 20 seconds, he'll run it in 19 seconds. Mm. If you do, you know, a 5K, he'll do a 6K. He's one of these characters. So he's a leader as much as anything else. Brilliant with his club O'Loughlin's for the last number of years, his school. But will they start him now? You know, after such a great win the last day, do you bring him back in and break something that's not broken? And the last thing then is Billy Ryan. Billy Ryan had a fantastic first probably 45 minutes against Dublin. Was taken off probably, I couldn't understand why he was taken off at the time, but he was taken off. And he was injured the last, so will he get back in? And Billy has been brilliant for his club since he came back from injury. So there are the three question marks for Brian Cody going into it.
Where are Kilkenny vulnerable then based on the Galway game, Jamesy?
Where they're vulnerable, I mean, it's listen, I suppose there may be a sense that, you know, the full back line is still not 100%, you know, in terms of, sorry, Joe, someone got a space invader there behind me. Well, I mean, look at I don't necessarily know if Kilkenny are vulnerable. I mean, obviously against Dublin, I mean, you know, certainly there were holes that was picked in it, and Cody couldn't be happy with the second half performance. Mm. But look, I think Hugh Lawler's a good player. I think he's solidified things in there. I think he's options off the bench. I think Conor Delaney obviously wasn't available last year. He was lost again. He's a good player, but you know, have Waterford got the firepower, for example, that Galway have, or that maybe Tip would have? Arguably not, but it'll be a different kind of game. You know, the Waterford half fours will come deep. You know, they, you know, they're obviously finding guys' support. There's always a guy coming off the shoulder. I mean, these guys get up and down the field. But for Waterford to amass a match winning tally, like, Stephen Bennett is going to have to perform. Gleeson, I think, has to perform. And I think they just need to get enough ball into Desi Hutchinson and allow him maybe the space that they managed to create against Clare, you know. So I one thing I taught you against Clare, there was an also, like, the first goal, Stephen Bennett could have tapped that ball over the bar, and in previous matches he might have, but there was a sense that maybe Clare were vulnerable at the back, and you know, he wasn't prepared to do that. He wanted to ask the questions and take the man on. And obviously that led to Desi's first goal. And the second goal, again, you know, maybe it was a fortuitous enough break. But the third goal, again, like, I mean, you know, Desi could have shot himself. Again, there was a player coming through the middle. It was a mark of genius to find him. And that's what impressed me at Waterford the last season. They felt there were goals there and they were going for them. Mm. And even in the second half, Hutchinson, you know, played a savage ball into England Montgomery. It was, you know, he didn't have to break stride. And Colin Malone did really well to kind of dispossess him. So I think, look at Waterford, you know, this is an All-Ireland semi-final, and they've got to go for it. Mm. And I think that they have to ask questions like Kilkenny defence, and I think that means, you know, doing what Kilkenny often do, and that's running at you and taking you on and asking those questions. And you know, whether they're good enough, whether they've got the same cutting edge that Kilkenny have with TJ and Richie and Colin Fennelly and Walter Walsh, who, by the way, taken off the last day, you know, probably have a point to prove to Cody in their own right. Mm. But I'd like to see Waterford, as I said, showing some of the same, you know, bravery that they showed against Clare, that they weren't settling for points, that, you know, they were going for it, and they were going to ask those questions, and I think they have to do that at the weekend.
It's an interesting point you make about going for goals, because, Tommy, I think we saw Galway going for goals, you know, and they haven't always had goals in them, and they've won an All-Ireland and proven that you can't win an All-Ireland without scoring a glut of goals, but we saw them go for goals at the weekend. I mean, Kilkenny won the Leinster final with those crucial moments and those crucial goals. You've played in teams down the years that have broken hearts, you know, with goals. And ultimately, especially if you're an underdog, that's really how you turn the tide, and it's a shot of energy for everybody. You know, the difference between the likes of a Waterford and a Galway when they're not scoring goals as opposed to scoring goals, is that tactical, do you think? Is that a mindset thing? Is that down to the skill level of players? What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's tactical, but I definitely would say it's a mindset. We had an old school teacher, Joe, in St. Kieran's College, Pat Murphy. I don't know, James, would you have come across him with Flannans, but Pat Murphy was a great hurling man from St. Mullins, taught in St. Kieran's when I was there. And he reckoned that you'd have to go for five goals maybe to get two, but you have to go for them. Mm. If you don't go for them, you won't get them. And goals win matches. I remember he was, I think he was over one of the same ones as the team, wasn't it? I don't know, it was an underage team or that, Joe, but at half time he said he started getting embarrassed. I think they scored 9 goals and no points. he had to tell him at half time, lads, he just started taking a few points out of here. But listen, you have to go from, and he even came into us the year we won the county final after so much heartbreak over all the years. Lads, you have to go for goals. Mm. Goals win matches on the big day. And what it means is when you get the ball, and Aidan Hart's example was, I think, a perfect example. They were winning by, was it 2 points or 1 point at the time at Tipperary. Mm. And Aidan Hart put this, he's not, we'll say, a goal scorer as such. He's playing probably cornerback, wing back for the last maybe 5 or 6 years. I know he was a forward in the first couple of years, but so he's not really a prolific goal scorer. But no, he went for it. If he took the point, everyone would be happy. Did well, got up the field, went for the goal, and that's what won him the game. Staying with the likes of our team, Eddie Brennan, these lads, they just went for goal. But there's an important thing, Joe, before you come in there, is you can't force it. So sure. First thing, you go for it. If it's not on, then over the bar.
And Tommy, did Cody preach goals? Was he, would he talk about goals? Would he talk about going for it, Cody? Or was it just, you know, instinctive to the players he had?
Kind of a bit of both. Like, the chance was on, but there was one funny one time. He I think we were trying to force these goals one time, and Ryan Cole, Ryan said, right, lads, go for your pints now, he said, Sunday. If the chance comes on, just take your pints, because we were in a bit of a lull and we were trying to force it. Mm. But DJ was on the team that time. He said, well, if I get the ball and going for goal.
He's allowed.
He's allowed, and Cody didn't say that to him because he respected. Listen, he knows more than any of the rest of us. But no, he definitely left it up to you. But
right. You
know, it was in your heads because of the lads around you more so than anything else.
Yes, I hear what you mean.
And Joe, take it from me, right? When DJ got a goal, it was worth a lot more to them than the 3 points we were up in the score.
Yeah.
Was, all right.
Yeah, I can imagine. Bruno Fernandes scored a second. I should just mention. Sorry, Manchester United are a different team in the Champions League half the time, so they're 2-0 up. Sorry, Tommy.
Yeah, just before off it, a lot of it actually depends, Joe. Maybe not the guy putting the ball in the net. It's the unselfishness of the lad going with the ball. So I think going back to James, he made a great point. I'd say, Jamesy, nine times out of ten, a player wouldn't have seen that goal chance that Desi Hutchinson saw for the third goal that Jack Fagan scored. So he was being clustered up. He was nearly on the end line, but definitely within his rights to go for the goal. Probably would have been smothered or something. But saw out of the side of his eye and passed the ball across goal. Just pure unselfishness. Mm. So, like, for us, I can only talk about from ourselves' point of view. Richie Power could have been nearly an all-star every year if he had to win for his own scores. But in his mind was always the team first. Owen Larkin was the same. When they got through, they could have scored a goal. But no, listen, I'll pass it off. There's a better chance if I pass it off and one of my teammates will score. I don't want the headlines here today. I want Kilkenny to win. So I think the unselfishness of the forwards also has a big part to play.
So Waterford, Jamesy, back in the semi-final for the first time in 3 years. How would you compare their style of play generally to what they did under Dermot McGrath? Because you're talking there about potentially De Burka coming back as sweeper to stem the tide a little bit, given that they conceded 3 goals against Clare. But at the other end, they are racking up bigger scores than they were under McGrath. And as brilliant as McGrath was, like 327 is a hefty amount against Clare.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're not going to lose too often when you hit 327, Joe. It's... I think against Cork the first day out, I mean, Tighe was picked to play an orthodox centre-back role, but, the Cork centre-forward just drifted off out to midfield and they were playing. Waterford obviously had the wind and he just sat back and Cork kept hitting it down his throat. And, I mean, obviously he reads it so well. And he gave a masterclass that day in terms of how to play the sweeper role, because he ran with the ball when running with it was the right thing to do. He hit it long when that was the right thing to do. He passed it off. Or hand passed it when that was what was on. And, you know, he was absolutely outstanding, I thought, that day. And against Limerick as well, he's so comfortable in that role, that deep line centre back role. I thought he was really, really, really good. Now, against Clare, like, Clare picked Tony Kelly centre forward and it kind of threw water a little bit because they had Caleb Lyons earmarked to mark Tony and Tighe maybe wasn't in. You know, in that natural centre back position, certainly in the first half. But looking back, you know, at the goals that Clare got and some of the chances that they got, I mean, Clare came right through the middle. And as I said, that, like, you know, don't think that, that Kilkenny won't have players coming through the middle. You know, and as I said, like if Waterford are to have any chance at the weekend, I think they have to be in the game at halftime.
Okay.
You know, and that's, and for me, that's, you know, I would give serious consideration, look at to playing De Burke, you know, as a sweeper, or certainly, you know, having somebody lying deep that, you know, that central channel isn't open. I mean, look at it, either way, like with Shane Fives out, you know, Ian Kenny did well the last night at cornerback. You know, you've got Shane McNulty probably in the other corner. But I mean, Kilkenny, like, are notorious, Tommy, for suddenly, you know, where does Henry line up? He lines up on the rookie cornerback, or he lines up, you know, on the guy who maybe hasn't played in Croke Park before, who's in his first All-Ireland semi-final. And you know, I think you look at, you know, Kilkenny will look at the Waterford half-back line and, or full-back line, and I think you could see TJ Station maybe closer to goal. I mean, he was in there against Dublin, and himself and Fennelly, you know, with an ocean of space in front of him, created a rack in the first half. So look, Waterford obviously have to be alive to that threat. And for me, certainly early on, I think they have to keep it tight. I think they've got to be in the game. And that's not mean that they're going out the negative, but I think that they can't afford to come from behind. And I think it's worth going back to looking to play De Burke as a sweeper, you know, okay. given how well he plays it.
Before we move on to Limerick Galway, then just a brief aside on Clare, Jamesy. I mean, the neutral was disgusted to see Tony Kelly roll his ankle and effectively, you know, not be himself as much as he tried. And it was incredible the way he did try, let alone Clare people. I'm sure, and even his teammates, when they saw him go, it must have been just such a sucker punch. Clare, this championship year, will they look back and say, OK, that's not so bad? Or was it disappointing? Or was it better than expected? Where are you on Clare?
I know. I think they were positives. I mean, obviously, look at, yeah, we needed Tony firing on all cylinders at the weekend, and look at, he probably carried us to an extent in the games. I mean, he's been outstanding, you know. But look at, I don't think, you know, anybody from Clare is making any excuses at the weekend. I mean, you know, I think the better team won. I think anybody would question that. But I think, look, given the players we were missing, you know, John Connan obviously was a big loss. Colm Galvin is a massive player for Clare and has been outstanding for us over the last 5 or 6 years, and you know, and I think he was the one that was maybe arguably most missed and maybe least talked about. Obviously, Peter Duggan is in Australia, so he wasn't going to be available. Mm. But you know, look at Brian has blooded some new players. There's some good young players, hopefully, you know, that can maybe, you know, get to the levels required physically to be able to make a contribution next year. So you know, they're not like they're falling off trees, Joe. But look at, by and large, I mean, if you told me we'd be in the last six, you know, I think I'd have settled for it. Yeah. And I think, listen, I don't think there's any qualms. I think the best four teams on form are in the semi-finals, and you know, we weren't good enough. But you know, I think we can live with that, and I think we're looking forward to maybe 2021 with a bit more optimism now.
Okay. So Limerick Galway, Tommy, it's a repeat of the 2018 final. We have Shane O'Neill against his former Limerick under-21 teammate in John Kiley. There's subplots all over the place. You were at Galway Tip. So what did you make of Galway? How did they rebound from the Leinster final? What are they going to try and do to Limerick here?
Yeah, and I thought even in the Leinster final, Joe, like, and Shane O'Neill mentioned it after the game, like, they weren't really, when Kilkenny got the goals, they didn't go back into their shells and suddenly lose the game. You know, maybe 10 years ago, if you got a couple of goals in Galway, you might go on and win it by 5 or 6 points. But they battled back ferociously and got it back and nearly still won the game. So that there is fierce character in this Galway team. The only thing that probably didn't go their way that day was goals. Missed a couple of chances of goals. The difference then, the last against Tipperary, they got the goals. And goals win matches when you're talking about two kind of teams that are evenly matched. So I think they're definitely well geared up for this weekend. Like, they have the raw hurt of losing the 2018 final. They had such a bad start in that game. Really, Limerick kind of went off and, you know, went on a kind of a merry dance there at one stage, went up by 8 or 9 points. It was only in the last couple of minutes, really, Galway really got it going in that final. So they'll be looking at starting off, you know, on fire this weekend. You know, like, I think myself, when you look at these two teams, Limerick and Galway, like, the two of them have brilliant players and have been there, done that, both underage, under 21 and senior. But now it's all about building your reputation, building the dynasty, winning a second All-Ireland, winning a third All-Ireland. That's what should be in the back of these guys' minds. So there's massive amount on the line this weekend.
Yeah. So how do you see it going, Jamesy?
Joe, I mean, this is real heavyweight stuff. I mean, as Tommy said, I mean, you know, neither of these guys, you know, neither of these sets of players, I think, would be happy if they finished their career with one All-Ireland. And Galway are arguably, you know, have more players coming to the end of their careers or in the twilight of their careers. I mean, you know, like you look at the hurling that David Burke and Joe Kenning, for example, have played. You know, Joseph Cooney, Conor Cooney, you know, and I think like they have to be stung by the fact that, you know, they couldn't have probably played any worse than they did in the you know, in the 18 final, and still, like, you know, Joe had a chance at the very, very end maybe to get something out of it. So that has to have hurt. And like, you know, they have to have that kind of that port and that pain and that bile in them on Sunday. And it has to come out, because like Limerick themselves, you know, are obviously stung by what happened against Kilkenny last year. And you know, they're going to bring it on Sunday. And as I said, like, I think Galway have to have that bit of poison and that savagery and that intensity that Kilkenny brought last year, because that's what's required to beat this Limerick team. Mm. And if Galway don't have that, I don't think there's any question about who's going to win. So that for me is what makes it all the more interesting. Now, like, you know, tactically you look at it and in terms of what way it'll pan out, I mean, Galway have the players, like, they match up well on so many fronts, because Dáithí Burke is if you want anyone marking Aaron Gillan, you'd say Dáithí Burke is the man. He ticks all the right boxes there. He's physical, he's strong, he's good in the air, he's got pace. Obviously the Limerick half forwards, you know, create, you know, the halfbacks want to sit, and Hegarty and Morrissey are massively important. But like Galway have players, like, you can't afford to leave Kenning with space around the middle of the field. He's a shooter. Cathal Mannion came very deep against Tip the last day, Tommy, and got points from distance. He's an accurate shooter. David Burke can score from the middle of the field. Johnny Cohn can get scores from the middle of the field. Like, so, you know, Galway, and then you have Whelan inside again, who's capable of winning 40, 60, you know, 30, 70 balls, not to mind the 50-50 ones. Mm. So I think, look, I think Galway have the wherewithal to do it. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they are good enough. They have the experience. They have the forwards. They have got the shooters. But, and there's a big but, like, this is week three. It was Kilkenny, you know, it was Tip last weekend. I mean, those games, you know, they take it out of you.
Yeah, we're starting to see a pattern with week threes.
Yeah, well, I think you know, you see that pattern more, Joe, if you're behind. You know, I mean, if you can get your nose ahead, I think that's less of a factor. But certainly if you're, you know, if you find yourself 4 or 5 points behind, and then you're listening to people talking about week three, well, then maybe it's in the back of your mind, and then it becomes an added factor. But there's no, I think, you know, you've got to be realistic about this, that it is a big ask, you know, to do what they had to do against Tip last weekend in heavy conditions. And Limerick was soft the previous weekend for Tip Cork, and it had a lot of rain on the West Coast during the week, so it had to have been softer again last weekend, and that takes it out of you. So, you know, in the meantime, Limerick would have been, you know, taking a good look at them. And as I said, like, Limerick to me seemed hell-bent on winning that second one. Yeah. And, you know, they remain the bar. And I'm just fascinated to see, can Galway, you know, produce the energy and the intensity and, as I said, the bit of poison that they're going to need to have to get the job done.
Yeah. What's your feeling, Tommy, on the poison front?
I understand completely what James is saying. It's like, it's unbelievable. Like, I don't think it's as prevalent in soccer or other sports. You know, that sheer savagery to win the physical battle, Joe. It's like, it seems to be just a massive, massive part of our game, and the reason why when teams win, you will so often hear about hunger and toughness.
And you know, sorry to interrupt you. Sometimes I kind of shake my head at that analysis and I think, oh, it's old school stuff. But then I listen to somebody like, for instance, Davy Fitz just the other week, and he was talking about how they will look at the hooks and the blocks, and they will, that is the definitive statistic when they're looking, you know. And so he was explaining on local radio in the midst of savaging Gerlach Nan, I'm sure you heard, but he was talking about how their hooks and blocks had dropped from like 90 a game down to 60, 70 this year. And that's the stat, you know. So people can roll their eyes when they hear you talking about this stuff, but actually it's how the cutting edge managers are thinking about the game as well.
It is, it's so important. But why? If you look into the why, Joe, it's because when you do that, you win the ball back, right? And if you win that ball back anywhere from, we'll say, now it's nearly 100 yards, you have a chance of scoring. You're in the scoring zone. Towards, like, maybe in other sports, when you win that ball back, possibly it's far tougher to turn that into a score.
Yes.
But in hurling especially, how fast, especially the new ball, like, you're talking about, you know, 327, 328. The scores are so high now. It's just going to show that you can score from nearly anywhere once you're out past your half-back line. So winning that ball back is such a vital part of our game. Mm. But a lot to do with that, Joe, then, is freshness. No matter how committed you are, no matter how tough, mentally tough you are, like Bill Hennessy, James, you remember Bill, a great hurler. So what Bill used to tell us in Tullerone was, it was Willie O'Connor actually said it to him, he'd rather be fresh than fit. And I would 100% agree with him. You hear any of the guys that would have played the big games, you'd nearly leave down your hurl the week of a big game. You have the thing done. You know, you've trained all winter, you've trained all summer. I know, James, you're different probably for yourself, a free taker. You have to probably keep the freeze tipping over. But for everybody else, leave the hurl down, because you'll still have the touch come Sunday. And Joe, I understand what you're saying. And sometimes you throw your eyes yourself to it. It can't be all about hunger. But it's not all about it, but it's a massive part.
I hear you.
And
I
so can you. You ask me about Galway, can they? It's all about being fresh. So what did they do this week? If they're going to be fresh, of course they can do it. It's 7 days, of course they can, but freshness will be key.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. So predictions time. And by the way, mark your card, Welch. I every week the last couple of weeks, I've jotted down cynical fouls, black card, question mark. What are we doing about this? I will get to it. I keep running out of time, but we're having this discussion before the end of the year, I promise you. So give me your predictions then. So for Saturday evening, Kilkenny, Waterford, Tommy?
I go Kilkenny.
Okay. Jamesy?
Kilkenny narrowly, Joe, yeah.
Kilkenny narrowly. And then on the Sunday, Limerick, Galway, Jamesy, what do you reckon?
Limerick, Joe, safer bet.
Okay. Tommy, Limerick?
I said last week after the game that it'll be a draw, but I won't sit in the fence again. So I'll go it. Listen, you know, barely a Galway win.
Galway win. Okay. Well, listen.
You want to take on James? You want the bragging rights off him next week?
Okay. Right. Good man. We'll let you go, James O'Connor, Tommy Welch. Thanks so much. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, Joe.
See ya. Bye bye. The OTB Podcast Network.